Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive says so on the hat. All of our WNST programming, including these chats we're having about elections and how we're all going to be voting, all brought to you by our friends at Taharka, made here in Baltimore. Don Moeller, I have Vanilla Bean has been maligned, and people push Vanilla Bean around, but I assure you, with these fresh peaches I have right now, Vanilla Bean ice cream with Flex of vanilla beans, underrated. Tastes better than vanilla sounds. Award-winning ice cream, serving up social change. And if you don't like vanilla, you want to get fancy and get the Wake and Bake or get the Mint Flicks or get the Honey Graham, Pistachio, whatever. It's all good. They're right down the street, and Don's about to run out of some. State Fair is serving us shrimp and grits across the street. El Guapo is going to be serving us all sorts of Latin cuisine, and you know I'm down for that. Get over to Catonsville and see our friends at State Fair and El Guapo. Also, Fadley's shipping crab cakes all over the world, building a new location in Catonsville, and I'm stopping over for some of that mac and cheese. I'm going to get a little crab soup this time, too. I haven't had any crab soup this summer. We'll see Damie over at Fadley's. She's joining us. You'll find that at WNST.net in the buyatoyota.com audio vault. Houses are buying and selling. Moeller and Gary are closing those deals right now. You can find Jeff Moeller as well in the buyatoyota.com audio vault, as well as our chat last month about all things homes. Don Moeller, you have been on an election rampage ever since early June. Our next guest is a recurring theme here in an election season for how we're going to pull this off. And I think more than anything, from your days in government, there are a lot of confused people right now. My wife and I sort of in the mix of this, of how we're going to be voting in November and making our vote count.
Well, it is an amazing time. We've got a president who attacks the process each and every day. And every time we track down the deputy administrator for the Maryland Board of Elections, there's just nothing going on, Nestor. It's amazing. Just sitting around and with her feet up because she doesn't have anything to do. Nikki Charleston, welcome back to Baltimore Positive.
Thank you. I wish your introduction was true.
Well, they change the rules on us, don't they? I mean, and this has certainly been, and you've been at this a long time, and we appreciate you joining us a couple months ago before the previous election. You know, Don and I have talked about this. This year for COVID, the form is, the ballots come to my house. I've grabbed my pen. I fill out the little bubble and I mail it, and it literally has never been easier to vote, sort of, kind of, but then trying to mail it and figure out whether our vote was counted, that was a little bit more of a process for us. And I know we all want this to be better. You don't want your phone ringing off the hook like this, right?
That's right. But it's through shows like this that I can try to help answer some of those questions, get the facts out, tell you what we know as of now. Because as you said, this is a year of change for all of us professionally, personally, our personal lives, our family lives, everything is changing. And so is elections. So I may not have all the answers here today. I can certainly answer and tell you what we know as of today. And I'm happy to come back when I'm sure something else will change. But
well, the ballot has just come to me this year. That won't be the case in November, correct? There is a step I have to take right now, and Don and Linda have taken this step, and I haven't taken it yet. And quite frankly, I'm trying to learn about it.
Great, right. That's correct. So one of the fundamental differences between the primary election in June and November's election is that in June, we mailed every eligible voter a ballot. You got a ballot in the mail, you got instructions, you got a return envelope, and you didn't have to do anything to get that ballot. This time around, we will be mailing every eligible voter a form to request that ballot. So it will take an extra step for the voters who want to vote by mail to get a ballot in the mail. So we're on track to mail those forms at the end of August. We'll be mailing them to about 4 million voters, so everyone's going to get one if you're registered. And if you want to vote by mail, you'll need to either complete that form and send it back, or use our online system to request the ballot. Both are equally the same in terms of the outcome. You'll get a ballot when they're ready to be mailed. The online process is more streamlined for local election officials to process. So if you're comfortable with doing it online, please do so. But if not, you can fill out the paper form and mail it back. The form will come with a addressed prepaid postage envelope. So you can just put it in the envelope and put it in the mail, and your local Board of Elections will receive it.
Well, Nikki, that's, you know, it's interesting. And when we're really going, we appreciate you coming on and appreciate your offer actually to come back, because I'm sure as we count down the final 80 or so days, we will want you back just to bring us an updated sense of the numbers and what's sure. happening, because nothing's more important. We talked recently with a local director of Board of Elections, Katie Brown in Baltimore County, and she indicated that they are already up to 25,000 requests. So it's becoming, I don't know if that reflects what you're hearing. I guess I would ask you, is that reflecting what you're hearing across the state? Are your local directors indicating that they're getting a high number of requests? Here we are 2.5-3 months out.
We are seeing that data coming in. So just to give you a sense of perspective, for the 2016 general election, we mailed out about 225,000 what we called absentee ballots at the time, right? We've changed the name. They're now mail-in ballots, but we sent out about 225,000 ballots by mail. This, as of Friday, we were up to 182,000. So what Katie told you is absolutely what's happening across the state, is that voters are deciding that they know they want to vote by mail, and they're submitting in their request, which is great. And we're processing those. And then obviously we expect that number to go exponentially higher once we mail 4 million applications out and expect voters to return them. So we're going to far exceed what we've ever seen before in terms of people requesting a ballot by mail. I expect even by this week, we'll exceed probably what we had in 2016 general.
Well, why is it not automated? I'm trying to get to the root of why did it used to come, and why do I have to sort of, why is it going to come now with a sign up to come again? I'm unclear on that.
So it's a function of the emergency powers that the governor has under the state of emergency. So under the state of emergency powers, he has the authority to change how we vote. And so back in the spring, we had two elections that were back to back, if you remember. Well, we had three back to back, two after the pandemic hit. We had the special general election to fill the vacancy created by the untimely death of Congressman Cummings. And then we had the presidential primary, which was also for the city, a big election, a primary election. And the governor, under his emergency powers, designated those two elections as vote by mail. And so that's why we conducted those elections that way. After the election, the governor declined to exercise the powers to do a vote by mail. And so just yesterday, he issued a proclamation changing a little bit of how Election Day will look like. There will be fewer polling places, fewer voting centers, but larger facilities, which means that we can offer a safer environment for voters that want to vote in person. And so I'm sure we'll get into that. But the changes to the election are a function of the governor's emergency powers and his decisions to have a vote by mail election in the spring and in June and not for November.
Well, Nikki, a couple of things to follow up on that. One, I want to pay you and your staff a compliment, and that's why Nestor was joking that he and Jen haven't signed up yet. I said that because we are paranoid and want to make sure our vote counts on November the 3rd, both my wife and I jumped on the website, I want to say a month ago, and you all have been incredibly efficient. We were told that we could go on and see if it had been received. We did, and it was. And then just recently, we both got emails from the Maryland State Board of Education, again, telling us that our request had been received and that we would be receiving ballots, I think it said starting in October, whatever the date was. I think it was October. So the communication has been really, really well done on your end. So I congratulate you and your team for that.
Thank you. That's exactly how it's supposed to work. So I'm pleased to hear that it did. Just one slight correction. It looks like for voters who have submitted their request for a ballot By mid-September, the first batch of ballots are going to go in the mail at the end of, towards the end of September. Okay. So, I'm not sure exactly what the email says. It's been a while since.
No, you're probably right. I don't have it in front of me.
So Dom will get his before mine because he signed up earlier. I haven't signed up yet, but if I don't sign up, you're mailing me something that I'm going to have to mail back to you that will make it happen. But if I sign up now, if I'm Don and I'm signed up, I'm still going to get that piece of mail next month, right? Even though I've already signed up.
So Don and I have both signed up. I also submitted a request for a ballot. We excluded people who had already requested a ballot from the mailing.
Okay.
So don't look for a mailing, Don. You and I are not going to get one, but Nestor, you should, and your wife should get one.
And when is that happening? When will that, if I don't act right now, because I don't know if you know, I'm bad at acting. So if I don't sign up, when will I expect this thing?
So the first set of applications are going in the mail August 24th, and they'll continue for the whole week. Obviously, mailing 4 million packets takes more than just a day.
Well, especially when you're trying to shut down the post office, but that's for next week.
I just wanted to clarify one thing that you said, Nestor. So anybody who gets their application in and processed by mid-September, it's all going to go out at the same about the same time. So it's just if you wait until, say, maybe October – obviously, if you haven't asked for a ballot, if you're asking for one in October, you'll get your ballot in October.
Well, Nikki, I want to jump in because this is where we get really excited about Baltimore Positive and what it can do to communicate with folks. You made at least some news for me that will save your staff a phone call or an email, because I had read that the applications for absentee ballots would be mailed out between the 24th and 28th of August. So I and my wife would have been looking for that application, even though we already signed up online. So you saying today that Nikki Charlson, who signed up, and Don Moeller and Linda Moeller, you're taking us out of that mailing, that saves you a piece of mail. So we won't be looking for that. So again, for our folks who are listening, I want you to reiterate that again, because what I'm hearing is, folks, if you've been diligent, you've been better than Nestor, you've gone on, you've filled out your form already, you will not get this additional request. Am I hearing that correctly?
That's correct. We figured that if somebody had already made the request, they didn't need to make it again. So we excluded anybody who'd made the request by last week. That they won't get it. So if you've already made your request, don't look for that mailer in the mail. You're not going to get one. You can visit our website and verify that your local Board of Elections has received and processed your request. That's elections.maryland.gov. And there's a lookup my information is where you can go and you can confirm. I did mine last week. I can confirm that Anne Arundel has received my application and processed it.
No, that's great. Now, I want to clarify again. It's funny, as we drill down, there are levels here. You said as of last week, if we signed up online. So if Nestor were to go on today, right after the show, because you've motivated him, and if he and Jen were to go on and sign up online, they would still get the other requests because they're after the early deadline?
They're after just when we pulled the data file, right? It's taking the vendor 2 to 3 weeks to put together this big, very big mailing. And so we pulled the data. So yes, if a voter signs up today, they're still going to get the application, but they can discard it because they've already made the request and they can.
Well, then I'm not going to sign up. I'm just going to wait for the mail. No, I'm just kidding.
He just did that for me, Nick.
Tell everybody where to sign up again. Give everybody the web address so that I can go over here right now and do it.
Okay, so our website is elections.maryland.gov, so elections with an S, Maryland spelled out .gov. And there's a whole host of information on there, but a couple things that are relevant to what we're talking about. There's a blue box that says look up your voter information. So that is where you can, one, verify you're registered to vote, check to make sure that your address is right. If you've moved, maybe you haven't told us. If you've changed your name, we don't know that. So look up your voter information is to verify you're registered and the information. Plus, that's also the part of the website where you can verify that, yes, my local Board of Elections has received my request for a ballot. There's another blue box that says register to vote. And you can use that box to register to vote, as it sounds like, or to change your address, your name, your party. And there's another box that says request a ballot. So if you click the request a ballot box, that's the process you'll go through to request a ballot to come in the mail. So that request a ballot box is going to be highlighted in the mailing, excuse me, so that voters who are okay with using the online system can do so. As I said, it's a little bit, it's more efficient on the back end for processing, but whatever voters are comfortable with is we will take those requests.
Now, Nikki, 4 million pieces of
mail. I need my driver's license number. I'm trying to fill it out right now.
You do need your driver's
Tell
license
Tell Jen to bring your driver's license.
Honey, I need my driver's license.
Get your driver's license. Now, Jen, get his driver's license number in there. Nikki, back, I guess we need to jump back to June, and I want to give you a chance to defend's not the right word, but to walk us through what happened, because again, this election was sprung on you. A lot of people have written about it. Dan Rodericks has written about it. Former Secretary of State John Willis, who we'll be talking about, has come to the defense of the Maryland Board of Elections. With a very short period of time, you all had to eliminate, expedite the mailing of ballots to folks, get the election done. And it appears that despite the governor having called it an unmitigated disaster, a number of folks have stepped up and said, it was anything but. Grade yourself on what happened in June, because I know you're tough on yourself. Give yourself a grade.
So I'm going to think about that, and I'll answer sort of your underlying question of, you know, sort of what happened. I mean, it was a hard election. It was the hardest election that I've ever been a part of. Elections are, it's a process. It's a 4 to 6 to 7, 8 month process of you start planning. And it's really hard to turn on a dime. And clearly we knew we needed to. Obviously, we needed to run an election in the midst of a pandemic. And so you do what you can. Typically, in states that have moved to vote by mail, they've done it over years. We did it in about 6 weeks. And so it was hard. Our entire infrastructure is around in-person voting. We have, I don't know, 90% of our voters who participate vote in person. Our absentee rates were on average over the last 20 years, 7 to 8% of turnout. So we are very much an in-person culture, and we shifted on a dime to a 97% turnout by mail. I mean, it was really quite astounding, and it was difficult, and there were challenges, and we learned a lot. And again, the vote by mail pattern is you over 10 years move from 10% absentee incrementally to 70%. And we did it in 6 weeks. So it was hard. You know, none of our vendors were prepared to make that change. You know, we had planned for X number of ballots and we went to 3.6 million in overnight. Two elections pretty much back to back for three jurisdictions. So it was hard. But we learned a lot. We had a good relationship with the Postal Service. We have an even better relationship with the Postal Service, which is going to help us immensely preparing for November. Our local election officials are the unsung heroes of this effort. They managed everything as best they could. We have never procured personal protective equipment, face shields and plexiglass, and we were procuring it left, right, and center. And so it was a hard election. I would give us an A for effort. But clearly there were things that we could do better, and we will do better. So that's sort of not giving myself a grade.
No, listen.
But I think, you know, it was hard. But I think, as you alluded to, you know, you look at the numbers and what defines a successful election. Did voters participate? Yes, in huge numbers for
record numbers, correct, Nikki?
Right. Yeah. I mean, Baltimore City was record statewide. It was the second highest presidential primary election in I don't think since 98, with only 2008 primary being higher. The special general election had a super high turnout too for a standalone special election. So, you know, it was hard, and there were challenges, and there are things we've learned from it. But voters voted. I mean, they wanted to be heard, and they were. And so I have a great deal of respect for the voters who this was their mission, and they were going to achieve it. And I'm happy that we were able to provide them with some paths to do that.
Well, Nikki, thank you for all that, because it does seem to have worked. And certainly the turnout numbers show that. Right before we sat down to tape this interview, I was despondent again, because I saw a recent Survey Monkey poll come out that shows that almost by the week, the American confidence in the electoral process is diminishing. I think we know why that is. I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on that. Obviously, the leader in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is doing what he can to make people not believe in our process. But I want to give you some room to talk about the security of mail-in votes, because early on you said, you pretty clearly said, folks, whether you call it vote by mail or absentee, it's the same thing. So am I right on that?
You are right. You are okay. Right on that. Yeah.
So let's start with that and then talk to those who are listening now so they can go out and tell their loved ones and their socially distanced neighbors why it's safe to vote by mail. Walk us through the security aspect of this.
Sure. So I'm going to use Nestor as an example, right? So he went to use the online system, and under state law,
I'm using it right now, by the way. I'm in here. I'm playing with it. Just so you know,
I've got it.
This is over. I'm going to tell you I did it.
So by the time we're done, by the time
I'm not ignoring you. I'm just paying attention.
No, I wasn't implying that. I wanted to point out the fact
that the apartment number messed me all up, Nikki. I'm not going to lie.
I'm so sorry. We'll try to fix that. To use the online system, right, in response to concerns about using the internet, you have to provide a driver's license to use it. So there's some very specific authentication information for you to say, I'm Nikki Charlson, and validate who you are as you're using the system. So it's the driver's license, it's the last four digits of your social security number, it's the date your driver's license was issued. So it's several pieces of information that we can validate that you are who you say you are. So in the request process, there's authentication built in, so that I would have a hard time, Don, submitting a request for you, because I don't know that information for you. So I couldn't resubmit a request for you and have it be mailed to my home in Annapolis. I couldn't do it. The paper process, requires a signature that gets mailed in and gets processed, and it's processed by a local board of elections. And so when you talk about trust in the system, there are lots of ways and places where that trust is established, right? We can establish that trust through authenticating yourself like Nestor is doing now. We can authenticate it by the people that are doing the work. These are the same local election officials that have been doing this work for decades. We tend to get in this business and never leave. They all have criminal background checks done. These are people that are dedicated to nothing but making sure that people have the right to vote. And this is what we live and breathe. But we understand that that's not enough for some people. And so we have checks in places. So every ballot that's mailed is going to have a unique tracking number. So that's
the barcode, Nikki, that's on there?
So it's a numeric number. The barcode on the ballot is nothing personal to you. It's okay. The envelope that has the tracking number. And so that if you were to return the ballot you got in the mail, and then that you requested and received in the mail, and then asked for another one, we're going to have voided your first ballot. So you're only going to be able to have one active ballot at a time at an election. If you request your ballot online and you choose to print out 10 copies, vote them, and all send them back, we're going to catch that. So there are, if you don't trust the people, and I get that, then you can trust the process that we have authentication in place. We have tracking in place. We have audits after every election. We're auditing. Did the person ask for a ballot? Was it properly signed and received? Was the right outcome? So we are auditing, and the local boards of elections are auditing the work. So it is a multi-layer approach to safety and auditing. And we've been doing absentee voting for decades here. And what we've just done is taken our well-established and mature process and just we're scaling it up. We know how to do this. It's now just a question of volume.
All right, so here, I got it. Here's my license.
Here we go.
Here's my voter registration. I want to show everybody what I'm doing here. Confirmation. It's got my little name. It's got it. See, it's got everything on it. Okay. So I
well
am.
Done.
I'm done. I'm now. My wife's got to go.
Nikki
do it,
is
so.
Proud of you. She's
I
very,
am proud. Well done. Thank you.
You live in an apartment, and I might not get the thing. The address was a mess. I that's all I can say. With the apartment number, and I'm crossing my fingers. If I don't get it, I know where to find you on Zoom. So,
you do.
Nikki, now we're going to, and Nestor's going to get into the fraud thing, and he's going to want you to talk about that because that really gets him worked up. But before we get to that, the issue that really has concerned me, and we raised it with Katie, and she gave me her Nellie Forbush cockeyed optimist approach that we're going to fix this. But right now, without a ruling by the State Board of Elections or the governor, local boards of elections are not even going to be able to open these millions of absentee ballots until 2 days after the presidential election. It sounds to me as if either the state board or the governor has to waive that regulation so that they may start counting these ballots as they arrive so that we can have the vote count go smoothly. Am I correct? And can you give us an update as to where we are?
So you're correct. It does take action. And so that is one of our sort of top three issues that we're working through right now. And I would expect that we'll be making a decision and taking action as soon as we've finished that analysis. We, of course, understand that waiting until after Election Day is in nobody's best interest. And we run into back-end problems with the Electoral College. So we have flagged that as a key issue, and I would expect there to be some movement in the next week or so.
So you also, along with Katie, you also are going to channel your inner Nellie Forbush, and you're going to be cautiously optimistic here.
I am.
We're going to solve that. Good,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
Nestor, you want to get on your fraud
well,
thing?
Well, no, just the last thing, because, I mean, we've talked about this, but how many years have you been doing this, Nikki?
16
years. So that's what, so that's several elections, I guess, 8 elections ish kind of sort
I
of,
I guess. Yeah.
How many, and millions of people vote. Tell me about fraud. Like, have you ever seen one time, one ballot anywhere or a handful or 10 or 20? Have there been prosecutions? Have the police come and knocked on somebody's door? Have there been handcuffs? Has there been anything in the history of the state to lead you to believe? And by the way, I just had to click a box that said that I have never participated in fraudulent or stuffed ballot. All there were a lot of things to fill out. It was a lot, I don't say harder, but there were more lines than I thought there were and more sort of legal part of I'm not a fraud in filling this out that you guys check that. But then I start to think about how it could be fraudulent, how I could be a mailman and grab 100 of them and fill them out or whatever that would be fraudulent. I'm wondering how that would work and whether it's ever happened before.
So I can tell you that, so I've been at the State Board of Elections since 2003, and I'm aware of maybe 3 prosecutions that, so in Maryland, the Office of the State Prosecutor is the entity that pursues those cases, and I'm aware of 3.
I always think of the person that's trying to do that in whatever, how many votes, 50 votes, on like that it could ever even, that you would open yourself up to prosecution. You're trying to steal an election. What could you possibly do that would be worth? I mean, it's just in my mind, you know, just as a citizen, I'm thinking, all right, so you could steal 500 votes, you go to jail, you still wouldn't turn the election. And then how nefarious you'd have to be. Like, are these bumbling idiots or are these pros? I'm just wondering.
Are
these
you
three
really
people.
Asking her to identify someone as a bumbling idiot?
Well, I'm just wondering.
Do you
wondering.
Truly yeah. want our guests to talk about bumbling idiots?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you said there's 3 prosecutions, what they thought they were trying to get away with. That's all. That's
well,
all.
And again, I can't answer that. I did not meet with these voters. You know, one wanted to vote twice for president, and that was under a different system. We didn't have the electronic poll books then, if I remember correctly, which the electronic poll books being networked and communicating with each other means that if I go to vote at Vote Center 1, by the time I drive to Vote Center 2, guess what? They already know I voted. So technology has really been able to help us.
And it's the first vote that counts, right? Literally, the first time you vote, you voted. There is no second way to put that punch card through.
Right. Once, so with the current system, in my example, I go to vote center one, I vote, I scan my ballot, I go to two, I'm already flagged as having voted. So I'm going to be forced to vote a provisional ballot. And then that's going to get matched up with, wait a minute, she already voted at vote center one. So you're going to reject that ballot. So technology has helped us immensely to reduce the risk. The examples of the prosecutions were, you know, mom had died, daughter was in town, taking care of the estate, couldn't get home to get a ballot, so voted mom's ballot. So you can decide, you know, the motivation of that. But to your point is right, to be able to influence an election, you have to have a pretty sophisticated operation. And so what we do in anticipation of that, or trying to think like bumbling idiots or bad actors, we try to think about, well, what are the ways that someone could try to work the system? And then how would we, one, either stop it completely, or two, alert us to the fact that something weird is going on? And so we've been studying voter behavior for a long time. We have a pretty good idea of what normal behavior is. And so then anything that falls outside of that norm is what raises flags for us. And then we as a team take a look and say, okay, is there something nefarious going on, or is it just normal behavior and we just have to adjust for that? Now, clearly the pandemic is changing that. What's normal is different, but we are finding that our normal voter behavior, even in the midst of a pandemic, is pretty consistent. So our alerts are in place and we're monitoring them. We're just on our weekly call this morning for over an hour and a half, looking at those alerts and talking about them. So you have to sort of, what are the risks to the system? How could somebody take advantage of them? And then how do we either stop them, which is obviously preferred, but if we can't stop them, how do we make sure that we know that they're happening so we can shut them down?
Dead people voting would probably be, literally, my mom died a couple summers ago. Maybe the ballot came 6 months ago. I don't know. But if it did after someone's death, that would be probably the door, right? Like,
sure,
and to your point, somebody doing that and getting prosecuted over it, that's probably the most common thing, I would think.
Well, again, our universe of it happening is three. So
out of millions.
Our sample size is pretty small out of millions, right? Again, technology helps us with that, and the relationships that we have with our sister agencies help us. So we get reports from the Department of Vital Statistics of voters who have died, and we remove them from the list.
Okay, that's information. So yeah, I don't think people knew that, Nikki. So you do get regular updates from mm-hmm. the Division of Vital Statistics, and you then actively proceed to remove people from voter rolls.
Correct.
All right.
And the other thing is we are part of a national consortium of state election offices who share voter registration data. And part of that data analysis is they use the Social Security Master Death File, which it provides us with another source of information about voters who have been reported.
I just had to give my Social Security last four digits to register. So there you go.
Just your last four.
There you go.
Well, I know those. I don't know my driver's license number after
right.
all these years.
So, Nikki, we two quick things. You've been very gracious with your time. One, on a scale of 1 to 10, and it's insane that we have to do this, but given the national political climate, I think we do. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not confident, 10 very, what would you say to the voters of Maryland as to how confident you will be that we will have an accurate count of the presidential election in Maryland?
Well, I'm going to say 9 or 10. And the reason I say that is because we audit every single ballot that's cast. We send that image away to a third party and say, count those for us and tell us what your results are. And then we compare those independent results against our voting system results, and we see where there are differences. And so you can go on, look on our website now and see that audit report from the June 2nd election. And there are no discrepancies, more than 0.5% out of the million plus votes that were counted. So in terms of the accuracy of the voting system, it's spot on, and we audit it to make sure it's spot on.
Terrific. So finally, Nikki, we started with your message. I want to end with your message. Take 30 seconds or so, and all those listening and all those that we're going to promote this like crazy because there's nothing more important. What do you want voters to know? Here we are, middle of August. The election is a couple of months away. What do you want them to know about voting in Maryland?
Do what Nestor just did. Go online and register, right? That's it.
So want voters to feel safe voting. And so we are still, because of the pandemic, encouraging voters to vote by mail. The difference this time is that you have to ask for that ballot, which Nestor just did during the show, and Don, you and I did earlier. So ask for the ballot to get it. And we'll be mailing you that form to do it, so you don't have to do anything. You can just wait for the mail. But we are encouraging voters to vote by mail. It is the safest way to participate in the election, and voting by mail is a safe and secure way to vote. Now, we understand that there are people that can't vote a ballot by mail. They can't receive the ballot, they can't vote the ballot, and for those voters, there are vote centers. There's going to be early voting, there's going to be election day. Some of that information is evolving, and so I'm happy to come back once that has been firmed up and talk about the specifics of in-person voting, but really want to emphasize that, encourage people to really think about voting by mail and leaving the in-person voting to those that can't get a ballot by mail or are unable to vote the paper ballot.
Well, this is a perfect segment for procrastinators like me because, like, in the midst of doing this, you shamed me, quite frankly, both of you, into doing this. Mahler's been shaming me since August of 82, so trying to keep me in line. So, Nikki, we appreciate you. We know you're busy down there in Annapolis. You got an election run, and we appreciate having you on the wall and making sure that our vote's going to count because it's the most important thing we do around here. Thanks for the time again today.
Brooke, I'm happy to be here.
We'll stay in touch. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, I am Nestor Aparicio. We are together at WNST.net as well as at Baltimore Positive, where we are merging the brands a little later on this month. You're going to be checking that out. Big thanks to all of our sponsors at Taharka Ice Cream, at Mohler and Gary Realty, at State Fair in El Guapo, in Catonsville, and, of course, our friends at Fadley's, making me hungry for a crab cake and some mac and cheese and some crab soup right now. Take care of them. We'll take care of you as the summer marches on. Election on our mind, making sure your vote counts. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, calm, local, Baltimore Positive.